Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Jason, the creator of the Army Showcase. And in past episodes, we've really dumped a lot of crap on some companies. Well, I guess really just one company to be precise, you know, WizKids thing. But today, it's my turn to face these guys' wrath in this episode of the Tabletop Battlefield. Welcome back to Season 3 of the Tabletop Battlefield, the official podcast of Army Showcase over at www.tabletopbattlefield.com. And we're on, as Ryan likes to say, lucky episode 13. So do you believe that the year is almost halfway over now? Actually, by the time this comes out, the year will be halfway over. Mm-hmm. So we're halfway done with this season already. And here's what we're doing today. Our goal is not to repeat episode 9. Which was the last time these two guys were on with me together in, well, which was not a very good episode.
Has it been that long since we've been
it's
on,
been
Ryan?
Long.
Yeah, it has.
We'll do another thing.
I assume that was our punishment for, you know, being so horrific.
You guys are saying completely pointless facts. Don't come back.
Yeah, so our goal is not to be terribly awful episode. But we're still scraping the bottom here, though.
I'm sorry, you're not giving us good material, Jason.
Yes, really, and generally you let us know, like, 24 hours in advance. Be prepared for this, and...
He does.
I let them know 72 hours in advance about what we're doing this episode.
I didn't get to read it till...
Well, whose frickin' fault is that? Not mine.
I'm supposed to check my email every day here?
You usually do.
Apparently.
Do you check your mail every day from your house?
No.
I have 3 email accounts, and I check them at least once a day.
Well, some of us have, you know, full-time jobs, and, you know, school finally got over with. So, you'll have to cut me some slack here.
Oh, between my actual job and my and freelance work the past couple weeks, I worked full-time. So, yeah, there's no excuses this time. But to be fair, just because I want to rag on somebody, We haven't fallen as low as ASCAP yet has, which, do you guys know who that is?
No.
I'm just going to make fun of these guys for a while. They are the organization that collects royalties for songwriters, which they have declared that if you play your cell phone has a special ringtone, if it echoes off in public, that's a public performance. You should have to pay public royalties on that.
What? God.
So, no matter how low we fall, there's definitely someone who's always lower than us.
Yes. But you're comparing apples to oranges.
You're right. I just like to rag on people, that's all. So that's about what's going to happen in the next 40 minutes here, is these guys just ragging on me. Because here's what we are doing. Because like I said, I need to scrape the bottom of the barrel for something. Last season, it's actually season 2, episode 11, if you remember that one. We each, well, Ryan did it. Yeah. He didn't.
Hey, I did a little bit.
Yes, I said
I actually
Ryan.
Did.
I didn't say Kyle, I said Ryan.
Okay. All right, I thought you were telling me that Ryan did. I was like, wait a minute, I know I did something.
You did. The idea was we're supposed to try to come up with some ideas for our own game. Kyle, he came up with something. I also came up with something.
And I was just brainstorming.
You were just brainstorming, and how's that brainstorming going?
I'm still brainstorming.
Someday the lightning might strike. Someday. That's pretty still.
Might be dead
you
by
know,
that.
I believe the term is the light time, but no one's home.
Here.
Right now, yeah, a little bit.
Really? That's lame. Anyway,
Anyways, let's start off with your new game.
So here's what we're doing. Well, basically what the episode was is that we all tried to create some kind of game. I created one as an abstract space combat game. It wasn't that good. So I took a while, rewrote the entire rules, and they've been sitting on my shelf for about 10 months now. So that's what we did. We got this new set of rules out here, and we did a quick beta test. I played it a few times just against myself to test some mechanics. This is the first time someone other than myself has played the game, which they promptly ganged up on me.
Massacre!
And it was a very brutal, short-lived arm battle for my space fleet. But yes, so what this game is, it's called Master of Planets. It's a...
And you made me the Nazis of the game.
Not really. It didn't make you the Nazis of the game. It's just that... The ships, because basically I got these little, you know, paper cardboard tokens that have just little sketches of what the guys look like, because I haven't done all the artwork yet. So for some of them, they actually look like ships from a computer game I made a couple of years ago, which featured Nazis. So some of Kyle's ships look like the Nazi ships from my computer game, therefore Kyle thinks he's a Nazi.
I don't think I'm a Nazi.
You think you're playing the Nazis. Yeah. Regardless. So the idea of this game, it's a somewhat abstract space combat game. It's not as detailed as, say, Battlefield Gothic or Babylon 5. It plays a lot quicker. Stuff blows up a lot quicker. Mm-hmm. Lots of stuff catches on fire. We'll discuss that later.
Yes.
So the idea was, obviously, a fleet game. We had little large capital ships, little fighters all flying around, blowing each other up, doing that kind of stuff. You know, same kind of thing we've seen before. So we sat down and played the game. I think we took about 80 minutes to play this couple-turn game that just, well, I just got absolutely leveled. And the idea is that...
Incinerated.
Yes. So I let them go ahead, and we're going to do kind of a similar to how we review normal games where hold Haterade so sweet, where we basically go topic by topic. I don't get a vote in this, just them. So just them doing their thing. But then I get a chance to defend why I did what I did. If, you know, maybe I agree with them and I think I'm stupid now. I don't know. But they are the ones that came up with the topic list. They came up with six topics.
I came up with six topics. He came up with nothing.
Well, that's
except
because,
for an add-on.
Yeah, I took a little side note.
Yeah.
Well, he took most of the topics I had in my head.
Well, anyway.
So we'll probably figure out a couple more topics.
Well, it's a fairly simple game to, I mean, talk about, usually. I mean, so, you left a lot of the mechanics out.
Why don't you guys go ahead, let's start. Yeah, I turned a lot of things down. Go ahead and just pick a topic and start going. So here's what we'll do. We'll say this. Pick a topic. I'll explain the particular mechanic, how it works. I designed the game. I hopefully know it best more than anybody.
I hope so.
Well, the set's falling down again.
The set's falling apart while we discuss everything.
Yes. This is the third time already today.
Fourth time.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, I'll go ahead. I'll explain the topic. And those they got 2 minutes to argue back and forth whether they like it or not. And I can jump in to defend the position. And if necessary, I get up to 1 more minute to defend my position. So, why don't you guys go ahead and do what you want.
I'll start off with the energy reactor token, since it's first on the list.
The energy reactor tokens. Okay, I'll talk about those. What those things are... They are, well, they're little tokens, as the name would surprisingly suggest.
That fall apart.
They fall, yeah, all my tokens fall apart. But the energy allows you to do a couple different things during the game. One, you can use these tokens.
But shouldn't we, start off by just discussing the whole main game as a whole, and then we can go into all these significant things?
No.
That's why you're
there, it's a space combat game. Ships fly around, stuff blows up, you roll dice. The reality is that's what every game is. The question is, the details are what makes a difference, in my opinion. So
I was just making sure that it was understood what was going on. I think
anything we don't talk about, he'll add on.
That's the hope, anyway. Yeah. So the energy tokens, each ship gets maybe 2 to 4 of these a turn, depending on the ship, and they can be used to do things like go faster. They can do things to basically and also absorb damage. The way the damage works, they can use these to spread the damage across their damage diagram instead of having like a nice shot just cleaver through them and rip them up from the inside. Those are the two main things they're used for right now. Of course, they are versatile. They can use other things too. What do you guys think about them?
I think it's a sweet thing.
Cal?
I do like the basic concept. I believe it is so sweet. Though I would like to add some more to that.
Go ahead.
I believe it's a little bit limiting, especially when it comes to, there goes the set. So,
you got 2 minutes, about your 2 minutes, keep talking.
So I do like the ability to absorb more damage and go faster, but part of the problem I had with movement, which could be fixed by this, would be allowing the ship to, because originally... The ship has to go straight and then turn.
It doesn't really have to go straight. There's a movement arc.
Well, I believe that if you may be able to use the energy token to turn first.
Okay.
And then go in that direction.
Yeah. Say you've already made your moves, and you have someone that's pointed their like laser beam at you, and you have no... And say you have a laser beam yourself, and you want to point in their direction, or just any enemy... And you've already made your moves. Say in a combat type situation where you're in combat, and you do that, you make a move with that ship.
You can turn.
You can turn an energy token to cause it just to
90 degrees.
Itself.
Just 90
yeah.
degrees.
So, because you're saying you basically get energy tokens to make additional moves.
Exactly.
Or in the beginning,
not moving forward or backward, just turning. Just making a tactical turning move.
So after you do your normal move, use an energy token. Say. At the very... Well, because you already make a turn at the end of your movement. So later on, after, so you move your ship, someone else moves theirs. Later on, Ego said, I want to go ahead and make it and use energy token to turn again.
Yeah, say in your battle phase.
Yeah.
Say in your battle phase.
Or even in the beginning of the turn, you'd be able to use the energy token there to make the first turn, and then you can have a different arc, and then make the another turn at the end of your movement.
That provides a little bit more strategy to you.
Because it really is very limiting, we found, with movement.
Because of the beam weapons are fixed.
It would be, I think it would be a good... It would be a good option for the beam weapon ships. I mean, obviously, with those ships that don't have the beam weapons or anything.
Well, also it also helps against being hit completely from the rear, by fighters. Yeah. Maybe you can get a couple of them out of your rear, or a couple of ships, maybe weapons out of the rear. Mm-hmm. You know, possibly.
It does expand the tactics of it.
So why don't we go ahead and spend? I don't know if it's on your list, but since we just kind of got into it. Why don't we talk about how ships move? Since we kind of just rambled off a little bit about ship movement, we really didn't say exactly how they move. And you can say whether you like it or not, we can expand a little bit on it. One thing I tried not to do was do a direct copy of how Babylon 5 or Battlefleet Gothic does it, where you do move a few inches, turn at this precise angle, move a few more inches, turn another precise angle, and, you know, because originally the rules were written that way, but just slow the movement down a lot, especially when you have these, for testing, these little paper tokens that, you know, kind of got messed up really easily. So now the idea is you have a movement arc, kind of similar to how you have a firing arc in games where, you know, you can shoot so many degrees. In this case, you have so many degree range where you can end your movement. So you pretty much move from your starting point to somewhere within this arc of possible movement area. Mm-hmm. And therefore, then when you end, you go ahead and you turn a direction. Do you guys like that or not like it?
I'm going to have to just put a hater away just for the fact that I think this movement is something you need to expand on.
I also will have to put a hater rate on that.
Okay, go ahead and let's expand on it. How so?
Like say the way you move in this game, it's a lot linear sight. Basically, you come up to the guys, and there's hardly any strategy involved. Like, when we were talking about in the middle of the game, like, can I put something in front of a ship to block that ship from fire? Or, you know, or causing a squadron of ships, you know. That type of movement. And that way, I think you need to expand on your movement more. And especially the way that these ships move, they move at pretty far distances in one turn. I think it should be, like, especially for smaller tables, like maybe shorter distances. I mean, it's good if you have a table that's, like, twice this size. But with this size, it's really just you go up to the guy and you shoot them. There's not much tactical element to that.
The tactics is where I can't, you know, agree upon. Also, it's very limiting because the guy can just fly behind you, and now you have to make two turns. Not only do you have to make one turn, but you have to make two turns to turn around your ship just to even get at them. And by then, they go fly right back on the other side, the fighters. So, I mean, I understand that the fighters need to have that maneuverability advantage, which is fine.
Mm-hmm. By the way, fighters are much more maneuverable.
That's
they fly just like fighters in Battlefleet Gothic or Battle.
And I'm fine with that, but the capital ships, I believe, still need to have a little bit more ability to move than has been put initially on them. Not as much as the fighters, but I still believe that they should be able to do a little bit more turning, maybe for tactics and for ability to, you know, make people think twice before they do something, because I believe these tactics are very basic. It's fly the fight, you know, pretty much except for with the assault, you know, cruisers.
No, I do like the way you take turns, though. Okay.
Why don't we just go with that new topic, then?
Well, I'm calling my one-minute defense, where I get to talk for 1 minute to address their concerns. I didn't say anything at all during those 2 minutes. So, in response, one, to Ryan's fact that the ships do move far. They do move pretty far, usually 12 inches to 20 inches, depending on going slow or fast. The reason I did that, because if ships do move slow in this field, and they have long-range weapons, all you do is get a slow progression, just firing back and forth. There's absolutely no maneuverability, no tactics whatsoever. Mm-hmm. You'll see that if you ever watch a Tau Empire versus Tau Empire battle in Warhammer 40K, all we do is we're static and we shoot back and forth. There's a little bit of maneuvering, but there isn't a lot. So the problem, though, is the ships blow up really fast, especially if you got...
Yeah, well, we'll get into that later.
Because if the ships actually did survive the initial contact, there will be chasing each other around, breaking the battle lines, will get broken up. Mm-hmm. That's my So that's why I make one move fast, because I want them to actually get past. I can see how you're saying about how not have a lot of turns, so you can get a situation where it's easy for them to get behind you, and then you're kind of screwed, which that's a problem with both Battlefield Gothic and Battlestar, and Babylon 5. Both of them have that issue.
I mean, my assault... sorry.
Okay, what's the next top? That's
okay,
the
can I say something on that?
Sure, why not? I'm making the rules up as it goes, real quick.
I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying not to have the ships fast. I mean, especially the boost element is really good. It's spot on. I'm just saying I don't think they should be going that fast. But the way you have it right now, the big ships and the small ships are able to keep up with each other, which is a good thing, because sometimes you have a big ship, like in some tabletop games, you have like a big fire that just goes into the middle of the field, and everybody else is lagging behind because they can't move as fast as that one, and he ends up getting blown out of the water.
I think the range of the weapons from the big ships are supposed to make up for, you know, being slower.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, big ships were fine at the speed I was fine with. I wasn't fine with the lack of maneuverability of them. I mean, yes, they are big, I understand that, but I think they still, it's too easy, especially with assault cruisers like I had, to get behind someone and then just keep firing at your rear arc and you're dead. You're dead in one turn.
Why don't we talk about those assault cruisers then, since the attack cruisers.
I'm sorry.
So, what the attack cruisers are, they're essentially torpedo bombers. They've got torpedoes, they fly up, and they're very brutal in this game. Because usually, in my playtest I did myself, I always actually had my fighters engage them quickly and destroy them. I didn't do that this time. And it was just disgusting. So, what do you guys say? Like them or hate them?
Kyle's the one that used them, right?
Yeah, what do you say?
Because I didn't really use them, so...
I love the fact that I destroyed your stuff, but I think...
It's almost too easy.
Yeah, I think that really was... So I...
Yeah.
I do... I don't... I think their weapons could be slightly less powerful. Maybe potentially make them, you know, a little bit more maneuverable.
Although I have to point out that you didn't entirely destroy the ship. I came in with a laser beam.
But,
yeah. But he did 95% of
I just put on the finishing blow.
Yeah, that thing was what destroyed anyways.
Because then on top of the next round, so your fighters got to go before my fighters, I couldn't intercept them.
Exactly.
The ship up. Yeah, they were way too powerful. It's, yeah, something's got to go down with them.
And part of the thing is also with the maneuverability of capital ships, you're able to keep me from necessarily getting behind you, and then,
torpedo bombers should be able to outmaneuver a capital ship. Well, it goes the other half of set behind us.
Yeah.
I gotta fix that, I really do.
The day the cookie crumbled.
So, yeah, I mean, but torpedo bombers should be more maneuverable.
I understand, ship. But the fact that the capital ship being able to turn just a little bit more, like using the energy tokens to be able to do that, would help a lot, I believe.
I guess at least it would help them at some point maybe to be able to shift out of their rear arcs and kind of spin them around and bring some of it. Well, yeah.
I agree with the fact that the weapons should be less powerful, or maybe they should have shorter range.
Yeah, something.
Or stronger shields.
No, the shields on the capital ships are way too powerful for anything else.
There are no shields in the capital ship.
Not shields,
ships?
But
adaptive armor.
The armor.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Adaptive, just the armor. I don't have a name for
the armor's extremely powerful. I tried firing my capital ship weapons, it barely did anything on it. So maybe the capital ship weapons need to be more powerful, and the cat cruisers should be less powerful weapons.
Okay, well, that's 2 minutes. I'm really not going to try to do a rebuttal against that because I agree that these ships are just too powerful. Next topic, then. What do you guys want to go on to?
Did you say if you hated it or
Ryan
liked it?
I had no opinion on the matter.
Oh, no opinion?
Yeah, because I wasn't using it.
You didn't use them. You didn't shoot.
You witnessed it, so I kind of thought.
If I would have a choice, I'd say I hate it as well. So.
Okay, Ryan, why don't you pick something?
I can't see that far.
Well, we've already added a couple to the list.
We already added a couple to the list.
We did.
So
let's just go into the shields, or what you say, the armor.
Armor. Like it or hate it?
I like it. I like the idea.
Kyle, like it or hate it?
I like the concept.
So what they're talking about is the ships in this game, the idea behind them...
And there you go with the timer.
It's falling apart in this show.
The idea of the way the armor works is... I'll show a close up of one of the armor diagrams. You've got basically a couple columns of armor, maybe about 10 or 11, depending on the size of the ship, and basically take damage downward across these columns. And you can use energy points. Actually, you can only use one energy point. And once you get to the bottom of the column, normally that starts blowing up your internal structure, and your structural integrity start to fail. You can use an energy point to essentially shift the damage to another column. Because the idea is these ships have armor that basically literally is intelligent, that can adjust itself. So it's being hit really hard on one side, and kind of shift some armor panels, fresh armor panels over to take the hits there. So it's not really shields in the sense that it's got some kind of energy bubble. It's basically armor on it literally can move and change the position. It can't regenerate itself, but it can change its position all around and move and bring fresh panels to where it's being hit at. So why do you guys both say you like it in theory?
Yeah, it's a good concept. I think one thing, if you're not going to change the weapons and you want to change the armor, I think you should make the armor a little bit stronger for the power of the weapons that these have.
Yeah,
but
it's blown up pretty quick.
I would keep the armor the same if you're saying that you want to lessen the strength of the weapons.
Well,
probably make them a little bit stronger.
Well, it's a balance, it's a balance issue. Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It is.
Weapons
I think
more powerful armor probably should go up. You got to find the tricky part is getting
that
balance.
I think that the as I said, the bombers were ridiculously powerful, but at the same time, the capital ships, at least the ones that I have, that are used, and this is what I witnessed from mine, did barely any damage against capital ships of their same class. They did not do that much damage. The firebomb, which was...
Yeah, your bombers did a lot more damage.
My bombers did a heck of a lot more damage than, I mean, D8, damage one shot for a firebomb, or two shots total, compared to six shots per squad of D6. So 3D6 or 2D8. I would take 3D6 over 2D8 any time.
Because the one thing I'm thinking about when it comes to balancing weapons versus armor is you want to make it so when basically get an average of damage each shot's going to cause, where you don't want to necessarily have either like no damage or really high damage. You know what I'm saying? Like when you really kind of want to get a small range of damage each weapon's going to cause. And now where we have situations where you roll a D8 or maybe a D10, and we're doing D10 weapons, but a D8 to see how much damage you do, it's possible if you roll a 1, you're going to do nothing. You roll an 8, you're going to blow half the ship away. So
with the minus 3 armor, though, it really...
It's still nothing versus 5 points of damage, which is a lot of damage in this game. 5 points is quite a bit.
That's what I was saying.
It's not,
if you want to... If you
it really
that,
isn't
you
as much as you...
strengthen the shields just a little bit more.
But that's rolling an 8, and when you roll anything even close, like... You know, rolling it 3 or less.
Let's go ahead and let's talk a little bit more about 3 minutes balancing the weapons and armor some more. This is actually obviously a serious issue. You need to make these things relatively balanced.
Absolutely.
I guess, do you guys like how damage is resolved right now?
I like the concept of how damage is taken because, I mean, you have the
Kyle?
The type of subjects too.
I do like how damage is taken.
I like it, but.
Of course it's a bot.
Okay, what is it?
I was just kind of curious. I'm sorry, go ahead.
On a separate issue, I dislike the fact that the fire just goes everywhere.
We'll talk about...
That's critical.
We'll talk about fire later.
I was just kind of curious on whether or not... I know this may make it a little bit more complicated, but if we could have the ship divided into sections in the armor. So, potentially maybe the armor can only shift... in the front to each other or to the middle to each other.
It's a little bit more complicated, though.
It's a little more complicated, and the reality is you kind of have that to some extent because the way the armor diagrams are, you've got several columns which have 3 or 4 boxes, a lot of columns that might have 2 boxes, and a few columns that have 1 box.
Then,
the idea, assuming the smaller boxes are further back along the back
of the
ship.
Well, the whole end result I'm trying to get at, not just that, is the weapons, when they're destroyed through critical effects... should be something where if you're attacking front, head on, you're going to destroy something, a weapon in the front.
Not necessarily. You could blow out a targeting system.
You can, but...
That's one of the reasons... I mean, I do like the concept of destroying the ships because you do have, different issues to where something can happen, like the engine can fail, stuff can be on fire.
You know, we've gone way off topic. We're supposed to be talking about balancing weapons and damage. Talk about critical hits later.
I'm sorry. It's on my mind.
Well, this
I
is part of the weapons thing anyway, I was talking about, which has to deal with the fact that you know, when weapons are destroyed, you can't use them. So I believe, you know, obviously it's on the other side of weapons, not the actual balancing.
Yeah.
But if you can target stuff, then you're more strategic and you know, could balance out, you know, the fact that certain weapons do too much damage or not enough damage. You can focus your attacks.
So you're saying you could target individual systems and try to blow them up. You could do that, but then it's like, okay, I'm just gonna, who first person to pick off each of the weapons is gonna win the battle. That's the reason why you have random critical hits. So that, you know, otherwise, yeah, you do go, okay, I'm gonna shoot your weapons off. Now you're disarmed before I am, and then your ship's out of commission. You know, that's the thing you gotta balance. That's the whole thing part about balancing. But I was talking about, in terms of damage resolution, everyone explained how it works. Every weapon's got a die roll associated with it. You roll so much die, usually one die. I think it's everything's one die anymore. And it's just, you know, you take the value, you apply a modifier, something called sensors, and each ship has armor factor, like 2 or 3, and you subtract that number from the die roll, and that's how many points of damage you get.
I'm still upset you getting rid of the D10 +4 firebomb.
Yeah, there's a reason they got rid of that.
I just want to say something, and I said it before, I'll say it again. I personally think that the strength of the weapons overpowered the strength of the shields. I think if you're going to keep the weapons the same, the shields should be stronger. It was massively overpowered.
I personally saw more so that the cap, at least my capital ships, I don't know if it's made due to the side that you were on, my capital ship weapons really did not do too much overall damage.
Because here's the thing, here's why I made everything one die each. Let me tell you my theory behind it. The idea is, I want to make this game relatively fast. That's my ultimate goal.
And if
you fire, say, 6 weapons at them, you could literally roll 6 dice of different sizes for each, you know, and go, and instantly add up, okay, that did 5 damage, that did 6 damage, that did nothing, that did nothing, that did 1 damage. And you could go really quickly.
Well, I'm not arguing about that concept.
I'm not arguing.
But the reason why I did that is the idea then is to go ahead and, so we roll this multiple things. Oh, well, the problem, though, comes in. You get, with one die, you get such a wide range. You can do 1 point of damage, or you can do 10 points of damage. You can do 1 point of damage through 8 points of damage. So, like I was saying, really nothing to the ship, or just blow half of it away. And the idea is I'm trying to get away from where that happens. Ideally, otherwise you run a situation, okay, I'm just rambling now. But does that make sense what I'm trying to say to some extent? You have such a wide range of damage a weapon could possibly cause. It comes more luck-based when you roll such a huge number.
So would be then...
I don't really want to roll a lot of dice.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather just roll one dice each. So that's not a big issue.
You could do something where, you know, some games have it where you roll 10 six-sided dice. Each one that rolls a 6 takes a point of damage.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find... But then the thing is... Then if you have multiple weapon systems, you got to roll like 50 dice in a turn.
Yeah, I really, it's not that I think the weapons were overpowered. Actually, I like the weapons as powerful as they are. I just think you need to adjust the shields or the armor a little bit to make it a little bit more stronger.
I'm in the opposite where the fighters, I believe, are, you know, were too powerful.
His fleet had a little bit weaker weapons than ours.
A lot weaker.
But he has heavier armor.
Yeah.
They were a lot weaker. I barely nicked anything on your ships when I was firing my main cannons.
You see, here's my ultimate goal would be...
I think I did only like 1 or 2 points of damage with my destroyer. And then I fired in with my my torpedo, attack cruisers, which blew everything away. So I'd prefer something where it's slightly more powerful weapons, on these ships and weaker on the bombers.
Here's what I like to be able to do. I like to be able to take a set of dice, maybe all equal-sized dice, and say you have 5 weapons, roll all 5 dice at once, and instantaneously calculate, really quickly, how much damage you've done to the enemy ship.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, represent a wide variety of weapons, from weak little anti-fighter guns to massive beam cannons and nuclear torpedoes and things. And that's hard to do with that kind of thing, where one die corresponds to one weapon. And still, you don't have like wide range.
Well, could you add the plus like 1 and plus 2 potentially?
You could, but the thing is, let's say.
Instead of my 1d8 weapon, do a d6 plus 2.
I mean, you
instead.
Could.
Instead.
But then it becomes the fact you got to keep track of, okay, that die has a plus 4 modifier to it, that die has a plus 2 modifier to it. And Or you, I mean, you could see.
Or you could just fire, or you could fire just all the group of weapons each, you know, time you fire two of the fire bombs. So you know, it'd be 2d6+4.
So maybe it's better to design the weapons such that, or design the ship such that they have numbers of similar weapons. So they have like say 2 fire batteries, 4 plasma cannons. So you,
yeah.
So that way,
yeah.
So you don't fire all your weapons at once. You fire every same type at one target at once. Is it, that's what I'm saying?
That may work. I don't know.
I like to shoot guns at different targets. So
yeah.
Much,
well, you don't have to, but you can.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's you still, fire each time you fire. You can fire all your weapons. He's saying, but you'd fire, you know, both your.
You don't have to fire your. But if you do fire both your fire bombs at the same target, you're going to roll both dice at the same
time.
Oh yeah, exactly.
That's so what I'm saying.
That's what we were doing, wasn't it?
That's what I was doing.
Yeah. But that way also, because then you can, then you don't have to have as many wide, crazy sides of dice.
That's,
therefore, if you have all D6s, but you know each weapon type has a certain base damage it causes.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine
with still
that.
You still have a little bit of range of damage, but you have less damage than you or less range than you would roll in a D10 or something like that.
And then we won't have to switch out the dice either.
Yes,
I like that. I do like that.
And you still get a decent amount of speed because you're rolling, you know, groups of weapons at once. Maybe make 3 or 4 rolls per ship. It's not one mega roll, but it's still quicker than rolling 8, 10 little individual dice separately.
Because then you would also, in my case, the 1d8, you could never do just one, you know, damage on a capital ship. I mean, you know,
you still might not do much.
You might be able to, on the actual one, you might do one damage because it's -2. But at least it gives a much better chance you'll do something, which will, you know, I think will make the game flow a little bit better.
Because obviously the idea with the damage is, the reality is these ships are computer-controlled, firing weapons at each other. You're almost guaranteed to hit your target. It's a matter of you hit it hard enough in the right spot to do damage.
Yeah.
Because okay. You could hit a really heavily armored area where, you know, it doesn't, or you kind of glance off the side of it or something, but we've gone way off on that topic.
Yes, we did.
Oh, that's fine. I think we actually had good points
we
there.
Did. I think after I got my thoughts straight and stopped rambling for a while.
What do you want?
Next one. What do you guys want to do next?
Let's do the fire.
The fire?
Okay.
Let's do the fire. So, I'll explain this quickly. What we've got is fire. Ships catch fire. Because you have critical hits. Like many games do when you take internal damage, you could have an engine blown up, you could have a reactor hit, you could have a weapon blown off, sensors damaged, or your ship could catch on fire. Let's go, Ryan.
Which, I like the concept, but I just don't like what was going on in the game.
Yeah, we'll give you, we'll do one each for Ryan.
Kyle? It did seem kind of excessive.
Yes. The problem was, on critical hits, you got a D6, or roll a D6 with a critical hit. 4 of them are either engines, reactors, sensors, or a weapon system. 5 and 6 is a fire.
Yeah.
Fire started a lot. In fact,
and they
were
never
just
quit.
Burning torches.
And then we had 6 or 8 fires on that one ship.
Yeah, it's like these spaceships were made of wood or something. Like they didn't have any anti-fire systems. It actually,
yeah.
They had a lot of problems. They had a pro fire system.
I think
like fire. Yes.
Maybe we should only put it as 6 and 6, where you roll 6 is a fire, and you have to roll another 6. For it to do
spread.
Damage, to spread, yes.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it could do damage, do something to you, maybe.
And I wish you could have something to roll to try and douse the flames.
You do.
Well. Okay.
Well, that's the roll we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think 1, 2, or 3 should be instead. It's put out instead of 1 and 2.
Yeah.
4 and 5, it should stay. And 6 should be the only one that should spread instead of 5 and 6 because you have a 33% chance of it spreading throughout your whole.
So maybe we can just adjust the critical hit table. So originally it's written 1, 2, 3, you know, reactor, engine, sensors. 4 and 5 would be a weapon system because in theory they're the most vulnerable systems on the ship.
Yeah.
Because they're all very external. There's also other components to them. Mm. And that way only 6 is fire. Therefore, it's not like where the ships have their ammunition laying down the hallways.
That would be better.
Cook it off one at a time. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, my ship caught on fire pretty well.
Yeah, it was limping home.
Well, we saved your ship from the fire.
Mine just went after the fire.
It
went one giant fireball.
It vaporized.
Yeah, we saved it from the fire. It just kind of killed it in the process.
Yeah. So anyway,
that was a sweet move too. I'm just like, yes. Okay. Don't
anything else, guys? Want to go with? I got one more topic I'd like you to go with, but
would you like to go with the sensor tokens, Ryan?
Yeah, sure. I don't have much to talk about
okay.
it. But.
Well, sensor tokens, yeah, ships have a sensor system. The idea is that they can, quote, ping an enemy target and mark, you know, enemy ships with these sensor tokens. When another ship fires at this target, they can get a boost to their damage. That's the idea of it. Like it or hate it.
It's a good concept, but I think you need more add-on to it.
I like it.
Put that over there.
Okay, 2 minutes. I need more add-on to it.
Because pretty much
how so?
In this game, you really could only use one thing with it, and that's only with the with the bigger ships. You couldn't use it with the smaller ships.
Yeah.
I had a problem with that later. I'm like, well, why can't you use that with the smaller ships?
That didn't affect me as much. Because my small ships didn't have any sensor tokens on them.
See, the problem was the sensor tokens, you could target enemy fighter, but it really wouldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So I need to take account for that. And also, that's about it.
Could possibly... this is something off the
top. Or maybe
topic.
Also so fighters can actually use sensor tokens against capital ships.
That would be good.
I was thinking if it was possible... I mean, this is way off topic, but something I just wanted to make note of. Could it be possible to do some kind of...
I take it it's not going to have sensor tokens right now.
No.
No sensor tokens? Okay. What do you want to say?
I'm sorry. I'm done with the sensor tokens.
Well, I guess that's it for sensor tokens. That was a short discussion.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it needs to be proved upon.
Yes, okay.
May I just make one mention? I was just wondering if it was possible to do kind of some kind of... formation or some kind of tactic where... In fighter battle, like, which give you either a better advantage.
Now that's going really in depth. I think that's like 2 or 3 years from now.
I mean, maybe a little bit later down, but maybe. I'm just kind of curious because I notice it's just, okay,
let's
roll,
up.
Roll, roll.
Well, why don't we talk about fighter combat and maneuverability and things?
Mm-hmm.
So, fighter combat basically works, you shoot either your fighter shooting at something. You can either basically shoot enemy fighter squadron, or some of them can do a precision attack against the capital ship. But the idea is they dive in really close and start picking off, you know, vulnerable areas of the other sides of the capital ship, weapons, engines, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. They take damage different than capital ships. Basically, when a fighter gets hit, it blows up. A squadron has several fighters, 3 to 4 in it, and each fighter gets blown up individually. And how it works is the fighters have a maneuverability value. When you shoot at them, they have a D10. You got to roll higher than that number, or higher or equal to that number. And if you do, the fighter evades a shot, nothing happens. If it rolls lower than the number, they get hit, it blows up. One more thing. There's anti-fighter weapons, which obviously, as the name says, they make it easier to shoot down anti-fighter weapons. When an anti-fighter weapon engages a fighter squadron, you roll 2 D10. And if either one of those two dice fails a maneuverability check, then the fighter blows up. So anti-fighter weapons, obviously, are a little bit better at ripping apart fighter squadrons than normal weapons.
I think I like the whole fighter squadron concept. It's good.
It's basically something that comes from every space combat game out there.
It's good. It's good. I was
just wondering if we possible could do some kind of combined ranged attack where you could take two of the fighters because focusing on one guy may make a -1 to them. +1 to the maneuverability, so you have to.
Yeah, so I see what you're saying. Some kind of.
Both of those ships
two squadrons concentrated on one target.
You know, fighters.
You could do something like that.
I'm just kind of. Because then you. When you have just a whole bunch of. Roll, roll, roll. One ship.
Yeah.
Like one ship left in the squadron. We can't hit for the life of us, sir.
Yeah, I say just saying. It's because, you know, when you do get several fighter squadrons lined up on each other, it's literally you sit there and roll dice back and forth, like 20 dice back and forth, see what happens.
Well, in a way, I mean, you'll do that in regular space combat anyway, because, I mean, you're just shooting at the person and hoping they die before
you.
Well,
when you have multiple ships, maybe concentrating their fire.
I think a fire concentration would be cool, like having like
that's what I'm wondering about,
like the squad just combining their fire.
That's what I was saying,
that would be interesting. Mm-hmm.
And then we could also use that as a way to also increase damage, maybe on a capital ship. Mm-hmm. Even though the scouts can't do much damage, maybe you can still add. Hey, they're picking at one small little piece of armor. Maybe you can do a couple. I know that's the precision thing.
But what if you ditched the whole idea of maneuverability altogether, and basically every weapon has an anti-fighter capability where you got to roll that number higher on, say, a D6. So, you know, normal weapons may have anti-fighter capability of 6. So, you know, big capital ship weapons, so they really don't hit a fighter very often. But anti-fighter weapons, they maybe have a 3 or a 4. So, therefore, the attacker rolls dice, not the defender. And, therefore, if you got multiple squadrons teaming up, not only does this allow you to, A, roll a lot of dice at once, so you roll all four fighters fire at once because you roll four dice, mm-hmm. instead of having to sit there and roll sets of 2d10 to do maneuverability, but also you get one... You assume all fighters are about similar maneuverability because, in reality, in terms of large-scale combat you're dealing with here, the fact that one's maybe slightly faster doesn't have a huge advantage, or maybe you can even have modifiers to the dice roll for the various fighters' maneuverability. And two, then, if you have a situation where they can combine fire, they can either all fire normally, or maybe they can do a supporting fire where you actually decrease your target value of the weapon you're using to make it easier to hit the opposing ship. You know, something like that's a whole whole different idea throughout there. It'd probably be a lot faster than what we're doing right now. Because, I mean, I don't think there's nothing wrong with rolling 20 dice to resolve fighter combat, but when you're rolling it 20 sets of dice over and over and over again, it does get slow.
It gets boring, yeah.
Yes. Fast. And I think that getting this down to maybe, as much as possible D6 rolling will actually speed up the game. Because we had to search for, where's my D8, where's the D10, where's the D4?
All right, well, that's about all the time I got for today. We're just getting close to the end of the show here. So thanks, guys, for sitting down and playing this game with me. It's good to get some more feedback and got some new ideas I'm going to try. I'll tweak some things out, see how it goes.
Okay.
Hopefully, it's hopefully somewhat fun to play. I don't know.
Well, you know what I'd like to see? I'd really like to see is you make up, like a whole bunch of these and just have one big army against one big army and just... plow into each other.
You get there eventually. Yeah. You got to do a little more balancing first before you can just start doing that crazy
stuff. But it's something
stuff.
I like to see eventually. That would be really fun to play. No, I had a fun time playing it. I love blowing stuff up like this.
No, it wasn't actually that bad.
It was smooth.
It wasn't as bad as our games last year. So we're making improvement. So I guess the idea why I did this show, I kind of want to give some insight into how game development goes. Because, we sit here and we do make fun of game companies for stupid things. And in reality, this is a very difficult thing to do. Because there's so much you got to consider in balancing. And still get balance versus speed of gameplay, not too crazy, that kind of stuff. So it is an easy thing.
But considering how much time you put onto it, which wasn't really much time, considering, it's a well-thought-up game.
The irony is that last year in July 4th, when I sat down and wrote the rules on vacation for July 4th, so maybe this year, July 4th, I'll go down and revise all the rules and bring them back and try it out in a little while.
Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about? I don't know.
Do we want to talk about that comment?
I don't care. Do you want to go off on it for a while?
Should we feed the trolls? I gotta look at the comment for a second.
Okay.
No, we're good without the comment.
Okay.
Oh, we'll do it next time, then.
You can create a YouTube video. I got this YouTube video in debate if I want to release it or not, where I'm basically ragging on some of the people who are having...
Responses to questions?
Some of the stupid comments I've had on YouTube videos. I debate if I want to release it yet. It's like sitting on my computer like, Anyway, for usual kind of stuff, I finish up here. One email I did get was actually from the PR department of the Wells Expeditions. Apparently, they watched our episode 9, the terrible episode, where we talked about Arcane
Legions. And they said we were awful.
No, they didn't say that. He just wanted to send some information about the Arcane Legions game. Mark Chase is his name. So I apologize for having you, if you did sit through the entire episode, I apologize for having to watch that terrible, terrible episode. It really was
wasn't
bad.
Our best work.
But he sent us some pictures and a few other things. Which generally it wasn't the fact that I run a Linux box. I wouldn't actually open up attachments on the computer. But so that's like what some of the figures look like. They actually look pretty cool.
That's not too bad.
The heroes are going to be pre-painted. The other ones, they're sort of pre-painted. They're general colors with a few spot coloring or something they call it.
Okay.
We have details of the starter set. The starter set has 120 figures in it.
Wow.
How much does that cost?
I don't got a price on it.
Okay.
120 figures.
It might be worth playing.
But hopefully they can change it. The one thing that's stupid about the starter set, it has 120 figures from all three factions. So it's a multiplayer starter set.
Okay.
But this game uses a proprietary movement tool, how you measure guys. So you've got a multiplayer starter set with one movement tool in it.
Oh.
Seriously, guys, I will chew you out if that is actually how it comes to production.
Oh, no.
I understand if it was a ruler where you can use normal rulers, but this is actually a really custom designed tool. They have pictures of it on their website. You can take a look at it. seriously, put a second one in there. One in a multiplayer starter set is just stupid, I'm going to tell you that. But other than that, the game's looking awesome. Hopefully it plays awesome. And last thing, way back, I think it was this very first episode of the season, Ryan said that he couldn't wait for the day he could slam my Masha's butt through the Empire State Building. Ryan, you're going to get that chance.
Yes!
I finally got around to picking up some I Chomp New York like a week before the new set's supposed to come out.
That's how worthless the rest of that stuff is.
Yeah, I don't really care about the rest of it. But it's called the Imperial State Building. I think there's some kind of licensing reason why it's called that.
I can't wait to set this thing on fire.
Because we're Imperials?
No, I don't think it's meant to be a statistical comment. I think it's purely for some kind of naming reason they're going to do it. Because Empire is not much better than Imperial. So, with that, let's just finish this up. Once again, I'm Jason. Questions or comments, send them over to me at jason@rockosoftware.com. That's rockosoftware.com. And, of course, Twitter at @TT_Battlefield. So follow me if you want to see me make comments that tick people off about the swine flu. Apparently, I had some comments earlier this week that really made people angry. Oops, sorry.
Believe it or not, I am still on Twitter, rmanman4.
I am once again not on Twitter because I never got around to it, but... And I never checked my email, but if you wanted to, you could send me an email at kyle@rockosoftware.com.
Or hate mail.
Or hate mail.
Yeah, just to that guy from episode 9, just send it right to Kyle.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Thank you. It's always appreciated that a fan of mine would make such lovely comments.
All right. Other than that, that's enough for this show. I'm Jason.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And I'll see you guys again in the next episode of the Tabletop Battlefield.
The Tabletop Battlefield is copyright 2007-2009 by Jason Rutherford and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial License.
The intro music Down With Everything is by The Transfer and is acquired from www.podsafeaudio.com and is used under a Creative Commons License.